Stillman and Company, delivered by TriStar. Moving 1 hour from now, our draft show, Teron Davenport, Chris Sanders. We will break down every need. We will break down the rounds, the depth of the draft. Trust me, you guys, if you listen to this show, you know both of those guys. You know they know their stuff. I'm pretty much just going to stay out of the way, let those guys kind of do their things. Caroline Fenton is here crispy later this hour after the meltdown last night that the Predators had. So we're talking about Ryan Tannehill and all the different avenues of quarterback for the Titans in the 2021 draft. Let me state first off the record that in my heart, I don't think anything's going to happen at quarterback in this year's draft 1 week from today. Would you agree?
I agree. But it's interesting to think about, and I wouldn't hate it if that's what they chose to do in a later round.
Sure. Plus, we have 4 hours to fill every day. Secondly, I would argue that, you know, when Alex Smith was in Kansas City, and we've used the Alex Smith comparison, Tannehill's not old like Brett Favre when they drafted Aaron Rodgers. He's not moody like Aaron Rodgers is when they drafted Jordan Love. He's not totally worthless like it feels like Shanahan feels in San Francisco about Jimmy Garoppolo. He's, you know, clearly Vrabel and those guys haven't given up on him like Sean McVay gave up on Jared Goff. You know, so they're not there yet. But I would argue that, you know, is Tannehill in a similar spot that Alex Smith was? And somebody said to me, Kansas City very clearly didn't believe they could win a Super Bowl with Alex Smith after they lost that divisional round game. Do we think the Titans, even after they lost the wild card game with the Ravens, do we still think the Titans look at Tannehill like, hey, you can win with this guy? Because the one thing I will say is I believe that most people around the country don't think you can. I'm a little conflicted too. I mean, this time last year we were talking about Brady or Tannehill. Well, maybe not this time last year, but a little bit before that we were talking about Brady, Tannehill. And I voted Tannehill. I think everybody, for the most part, voted Tannehill, except Steve Lehman at News Channel 5. Got to give him his credit. But now I think we would say, you know, maybe Brady. Here you are now, after the playoff loss against the Ravens, do you still think you can win at the level you want to win at with Tannehill? And I think that maybe drives this as much as anything else. Because I don't know. I don't know what they think of Justin Fields. I don't know what they think of Trey Lance. I don't know. But if they think that they love one of those guys and you don't think you can win the Super Bowl with Tannehill, that's when you make the move. That's when you deal the first round pick next year in order to go up and do it. Phones into the text line. Our phone line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Caroline Fenton, of course, is on the text line. What do we have in there?
One texter said Tannehill has 4 to 5 more years of great football. Don't waste a high draft pick on a quarterback. I'm not going to disagree that Tannehill probably has 4 to 5 years of great football left in him. I just don't know if it's in Nashville.
4 to 5 years of great football. He's going to be 33 this year. 5 years is 38. You think Ryan Tannehill is still going to be playing great football at the age of 38? This is a guy who Miami was willing to give up on at the age of 28. So you really think he's going to be playing good football at 38? See, this is where I guess I feel like we have to have the talk. And this is going to be a much deeper talk than today. Maybe it's an after-the-draft talk. But we're at some point going to have the talk about what is Ryan Tannehill. Because I think you can make an argument that Ryan Tannehill is better than, you know, the guys that you're getting by with. Andy Dalton is a guy you get by with. He's a starting caliber quarterback in the NFL, but he's not great. Nick Foles is a starting caliber guy. The Indianapolis Colts really want one of those great guys. They had it in Andrew Luck. They had it in Peyton. They really want it. But
I don't think they have it in Carson Wentz.
They knew they weren't getting it with Phillip Rivers. They knew if they brought Jacoby Brissett back, they weren't getting that. I wonder if they think, okay, we can try to strike oil here with Carson Wentz. And maybe it works out. I also think there's a part of them that said, you know what? It's kind of the best we can do. We're not going to be able to trade for Deshaun Watson. We're not going to be able to draft a guy who's going to be the future. We're never going to be bad enough to be able to get that kind of player. So let's just go ahead and let's try with Carson. Let's try to make it work. So I don't know where he is. You know, I don't know. Like, I think Teddy Bridgewater last year proved that he's really not a starting quarterback in the NFL. And I love Teddy. But he kind of proved that. If the Saints go with Jameis Winston, this will be Jameis's opportunity to prove whether or not he can do it. My gut says no, but that's, you know, you're going to get the opportunity. With Tannehill, I think there's a lot of ambiguity, a lot of gray area. I kind of think you can win a Super Bowl with Ryan Tannehill. I kind of also know that most people don't think you can win a Super Bowl with Ryan Tannehill. So it's a tough spot to be in, but that's a much larger topic for a different day. What else is in the text line?
One texter asked if Mac Jones is available around pick 9-ish. Do you think about trading up to get him?
So I probably wouldn't, because I'm not sure the upside in Mac Jones is much greater than the upside in Tannehill. I certainly think Tannehill is more mobile. But I think that's almost a moot point, because I don't think Mac Jones will be available at 9.
That's what I was going to say. I don't. You can talk about it, but I think he'll be gone at 3. And I don't really think that you're getting much out of Mac Jones.
I think one thing on the Mac Jones front and the Tannehill front is that let's compare this to the situation that Mac Jones is probably going to find himself in San Francisco. Here's how I think this is going to play out. And I could be totally wrong, but I think that San Francisco drafts Mac next week. They try to say Jimmy's the starter, Mac's the backup. They then go into camp with Jimmy as the starting quarterback, and they wait for somebody to either get desperate enough or get injured, and then they trade Jimmy and Mac starts. Kind of like what the Eagles did with Carson Wentz and Sam Bradford. Mm-hmm. You know, Teddy Bridgewater got hurt in Minnesota, and they flipped Sam Bradford for first-round pick. I also think there's a chance that Garoppolo, who's got a no-trade clause, says, look, I'm not going anywhere. So I'm either the quarterback here, or you got to release me. And then forcing his release, and then he goes to New England. So I think that, and I think maybe that's what Belichick's waiting for, too, is that he knows Jimmy is going to turn down trade offers or have the ability to turn down trade offers. San Francisco is going to ask him to take a pay cut or something and then just go right on. And like I truly believe today that Jimmy Garoppolo will be the starting quarterback of the New England Patriots week one.
There is so much talk about the Patriots possibly picking up Trey Lance. What are they trade up for 12, the 12th pick? I just don't think that they're going to draft Trey Lance.
Why?
I don't think it. I think he's a similar quarterback to Cam Newton, and it didn't work out with him. I don't see that working with Bill Belichick. And maybe I'm totally wrong, but I don't see that working.
So
I think they want, I could see them drafting a receiver or a pass catcher and waiting for Jimmy.
I think they're playing hardball. I think they're waiting it out on Garoppolo, because eventually push is coming to shove. You're going to draft Mac Jones, keep him on the bench. Okay. You pay Jimmy $20 million. Okay. I mean, like, that's fine, but wouldn't you rather get Mac Jones some help with that $20 million that you're going to have to pay Jimmy? There's no dead money to give Jimmy. You can't just ship Jimmy anywhere. He's got a no-trade clause, and he knows that. I mean, it kind of feels like they're going to ask Jimmy to take a pay cut. Jimmy's going to say no. They're going to release Jimmy once they find out that Mac can play. They're going to release Jimmy, and then the Patriots are going to sign him. He's going to start a quarterback. That's just my gut. But what I think is interesting about Jimmy Garoppolo is it feels like the missed throw to Emmanuel Sanders in the Super Bowl and that game in general, Kyle Shanahan's like, can't win with him. I can't. I think they're kind of like in between on Ryan Tannehill. Like the Titans are not there yet. Tannehill is not screwed up to where you literally brush your hands and say, hey, can't win with him. But let's not forget, in that playoff game against the Ravens, he missed a wide-open Cam Batson on the 3rd-and-2 pass Jonnu Smith dropped, and he missed a wide-open A.J. Brown on the game-clinching interception. That does hang in the back of my mind. DeJuan is up next here on Stillman & Company. Thank you for calling. Go ahead, DeJuan.
I wanted to call you out on something, man. I think you devalue Jameis Winston a little too much. And I know he makes all the turnovers, and we know the bad. His off-the-field issues isn't that bad. He's actually been doing better off the field. But you got to think, because Jameis Winston's a better football player than Tannehill. We just wouldn't trust him.
Says
he's
what?
The right coach. You know he's going to put up 500 yards. I mean,
But, I mean, is that how we define who the best quarterback is?
No. This is my thing. I'm not saying I'd rather have Jameis Winston over Tannehill. But what I'm saying is you can't name 10 quarterbacks in the league that are just head over heels better than Winston. Now, you would have to find the right coach and the right team. So I think it's a perfect opportunity with him with the Saints. Now, my biggest question is, why didn't the Saints go with him when they had the opportunity? I'm curious.
So I think that's
it.
An interesting. That's a, thank you for your call, DeJuan. I'm just gonna say it like this, okay? Rodgers 1, Mahomes 2, Brady. I think you can very easily get to 10. Deshaun Watson, although I mean that's obviously a giant question mark off the field right now. Russell Wilson, that's 5. So we're already halfway there. I do think Tannehill's better, but let's leave Tannehill out of this for a second.
I would say Josh Allen is better.
Josh Allen is better. I mean, like, we're definitively better. Like, I think that there are a lot of guys who are better, but I can't say definitively that Tua is better than Jameis Winston.
I think Herbert has the potential.
We'll put him ahead of Jameis. Sure.
You could argue that.
Like, ask yourself this. If you're the Saints, who would you rather have, Justin Herbert or Jameis Winston?
Justin Herbert.
Okay. Joe Burrow, I would rather have than Jameis Winston. I think you can comfortably say Matt Ryan is better than Jameis Winston.
Are you going to say Kyler's better than Jameis Winston?
I hate Kyler.
I don't think so.
I think Kyler sucks. So I throw him out of it. I'm trying to think. There's somebody. There's like
Ben
Derek
Roethlisberger.
Carr. That's iffy. Ben is iffy. But I'm going to take Derek Carr over Jameis Winston.
Okay. Yeah.
I'm going to take Dak Prescott over Jameis Winston.
100%.
I mean, like, I look at Jameis Winston like Nick Foles. Like, I think right now he's at the Nick Foles level, which is not good.
And I think that having a year under Drew Brees and learning Sean Payton's offense, I think that could potentially be a really big thing for Jameis Winston.
Sure, let's see it. Let's try it out.
But we don't know yet. Just judging off of what we've seen with him at the Bucs and his, you know, his few outings that we've seen with him as a Saint, I would not call him a top 10 quarterback in the NFL.
615-737-1025 is our phone number. 615-737-1025. The Predators with an all-time meltdown last night. I don't know if all-time, that may be a little too strong. The Predators with a big meltdown last night against Chicago. Very, very damaging to their playoff chances. But coming up next, I asked John Hines a question yesterday because I think there's a bigger story to be written about last night's game, but we don't know how it ends. We'll get to that coming up next. We're live from the Wholesaling Studio, powered by RumbleOn.com. I promised we'd be giving away things. Now's the opportunity because ESPN 102.5 The Game and T-Mobile have teamed up to give away a hockey home gating party. Text the word GOLD to 615-737-1025 now for your chance to enter to win a Dos Equis prize pack, which includes a case of beer, dessert from Nothing Bundt Cakes, a T-Mobile prize pack, and food provided by 312 Pizza Company in Germantown.
Inostroza through center across the Nashville line. Works in against Howla. Now Hagel. Hagel with a shot. He scored. Hagel scores into overtime, and the Blackhawks win this game. Hagel scores at 4 minutes of the overtime period.
Devastating loss for the Preds, but one valuable point, a huge comeback, gutsy effort to win this one for the Hawks to keep things alive for them. Wow.
Predators last night. I think Hal Gill said it best. A devastating loss. You lead 4-1. Even when it was 4-2, MoneyPuck.com said a 95.5% chance. 95.5% chance to win the game. And they lost. And as Hal said, devastating. Now, they did get a point. But my thing in life is this. Bad things are going to happen to you. Bad things are going to happen to your team. Bad things are going to happen. The question is, how do you react? 95% of the time, how you react to something bad is usually more important than the actual thing that happens. Let's take a breakup, for example. Say you're absolutely brokenhearted and you just can't believe that you got broken up with. How do you act? Do you put that person into orbit? And then kind of just move on with your life. And then all of a sudden, you'll be surprised. That person sometimes comes back a lot. Or do you let everything fall to pieces? And all of a sudden, you're not performing well at your job. And you're not eating. And you're losing a bunch of weight. And people are wondering about you. And that's how really bad things happen. I asked John Hines last night after the game, how do they keep a devastating loss like that last night from crumbling the season? Here's what he said.
John, how do you let this loss, how do you coach up after this loss and not let the situation, given the standings and the lead, demoralize the team more so than just tonight?
Yeah, you know, I think it's like everything. I mean, this time of year, you know, like we said, Jared, in the past, it gets emotional. I think that there's certain components. We did get 1 point out of the game. We did a lot of good things in the game. You know, we certainly played a good game. We had a stretch in the third period where, you know, it looks as though we let our foot off the gas a little bit. And that's something that you can't do against any team. And I think you got to take the point out of it. You got to take the lessons from, you know, why we gave up the lead the way that we did. And I think there's a lot of good things in the game that you come back to. And, you know, as I've said, we could beat someone 7-2. We could, you know, lose this game. This time of year, it's about the end result, and you got to move past it. You can't get too high. You can't get too low. Message doesn't change. Mentality shouldn't change. We got to make sure that we're ready to go. And I know this, you know, when you lose a game like this, I think it's important that's why you stress that when you win or when you lose, you can't get too caught up in the game. You got to take the lessons. You got to move on. We got a day here, and we will be ready to go Friday.
John Hines almost guaranteeing, hey, this team will be ready to go Friday. Let me say this. I have no idea how the Preds will react to this. This is about the team. This is more so than the coach. This is about how Roman Josi will react. This is how, you know, UC Soros will react, how the team will show Friday, and you will get Chicago's best shot. But let me say this. I do believe that John Hines is the right guy for this situation. Never too high, never too low. He doesn't get all worked up. When things were bad, he stayed the same. When things were good, he stayed the same. And he kept preaching that. It wasn't just last night that he said that. He's been preaching that the whole time. I feel pretty comfortable about John Hines using this loss to make the team better. I think it will humble them. I think they'll be able to do the right things. Terry Crisp will join us in a little bit. I'm going to ask Crispy, put yourself in the coach's shoes there. How do you overcome, you keep something like that from ruining your season? Because it was a catastrophic loss. Headlines with Caroline.
We're spanning the sports world. It's Headlines with Caroline on Stillman & Company. Right here on Nashville's best sports talk.
ESPN.
102.5 The Game and the Game Nashville app.
So I love draft season because I feel like people find the teeniest, tiniest little clues and just blow them up. It's kind of like when a college football program is looking for a new head coach and there are people who will go to the airport and track flights and see where it came from. Some things kind of like that are happening in this year's draft. It was reported that Kyle Pitts only followed one NFL team on Instagram yesterday, and it was the Falcons. And 8 hours later, he unfollowed them. I don't like to look too far into these tiny little breadcrumbs that people drop, but I do think it's pretty interesting.
So let me say this. Sports is the ultimate male soap opera. And every guy who thinks that they're above the drama lies.
Oh, they love the drama.
You're
who doesn't
lying.
Love the drama?
You're lying. You love it. Draft season is the ultimate gossip season. People like when I was a kid, I don't know if this will surprise you or not. I kind of had a big mouth. And so my friends would tell me something.
When you were a kid, you had a big mouth.
Yes, my friends would tell me something.
You outgrew that, I see.
And they would say, you know, well, Jared couldn't keep a secret. And I would get down on myself. Like, I'd feel bad that I couldn't keep somebody else's secret. I was like, darn. Now somebody's like, hey, can you keep a secret? I'm like, I'd rather not.
At least you know.
Like, my girlfriend asked me the other day. She's like, you have a big mouth, don't you? I was like, yeah. She's like, I can tell you a secret. I'm like, don't do it. Don't do it. Don't do it. Don't do it. And I would argue that, like, this is all just gossip. I mean, I would say 85% of the things you hear over the next week about team says this, scout says that, college coach says this, it's all gossip. That doesn't mean, now let me say this about gossip. As somebody who, you know, maybe has a PhD in gossiping, not all gossip is wrong.
That's true.
How many times in your life, Caroline, have you heard something where you're like, oh, pff, that's gossip? And then it's like, oh, my God, I can't believe that's true. Because, you know, it's
it happens.
So who knows? I hate, though, the NBA thing, which is, ooh, follow this team on Instagram. And I hate all that.
It's like when celebrities date and then they follow someone on Instagram or unfollow this person and people just look so far into it. It may just be that he unfollowed them on Instagram and we shouldn't look too far into it. But I love these little clues that people drop and you're starving for any sort of information that you can get, like the week before the draft. On the same subjective, Kyle Pitts, 24/7 Sports put out an article, and Kyle Pitts said that South Carolina corner J.C. Horn was, quote, his toughest matchup last season. Now, keep in mind, Kyle Pitts went up against Patrick Surtain in the SEC championship last year. So he was saying that J.C. Horn was even tougher competition than Patrick Surtain, who was projected to go higher than J.C. Horn.
So, I mean, I think there's a lot of factors there at play. Like, what did Alabama do defensively? Alabama has the luxury maybe to do a little bit more than just, hey, let's take our best guy and match him up on Kyle Pitts.
Right.
I'm not sure South Carolina had that luxury. Boy, the more I hear about J.C. Horn, the more I hear people love him. I mean, just love J.C. Horn. And, I mean, there was a lot of talk for about a month that he could be a possible Titans target. And I think literally over the last, like, 3 weeks, most everybody has kind of come to grips with the fact that, no, J.C. Horn is not going to be a Titans target. He's probably gone by the 15th pick.
If he's there at 22, you take him.
Yes.
Absolutely.
If he's there at 18, you think about trading up to get him.
Right. Son of legendary New Orleans Saints wide receiver Joe Horn.
Easy on legendary.
Legendary in New Orleans.
I mean, he put the phone in the...
He put the phone
in the field goal post.
That was pretty great.
That's Joe Horn.
So Bill Barnwell put out a mock draft based solely on trades, and I don't think they're going to see a lot of these happening at the top, but I think that some of them are pretty interesting. Number one, the Jacksonville Jaguars trade with the Los Angeles Chargers. The Jags get Justin Herbert, and the Chargers get the number one pick along with a third round pick, 65th pick in the third round. Don't think you're going to see that. I think the Jags are really set on their guy, and I think the Chargers are really happy with Justin Herbert.
Who would you rather have?
Who
Herbert,
would I rather
Herbert
have?
Herbert or Lawrence? Right now, Herbert or Lawrence?
Lawrence.
That's tough. I really like Herbert.
I really like Herbert, too, and you could argue that he was the most successful rookie quarterback this past season.
My thing about young quarterbacks, though, it takes time, man. Baker Mayfield was rookie of the year, and then after the second year, they wanted to dump him. And now, like, half the people want to dump him and half the people don't. Oh, there's a lot of pressure on Baker this year. Why? Because they signed Clowney?
There's pressure on Baker every year.
The league catches up to you as a young quarterback. Let's see how Herbert does this year. I think I would take Lawrence over Herbert in that scenario, too. Those are Headlines with Caroline. Terry Crisp joins us next. Crispy's thought on the meltdown. First of all, what happened? Secondly, how do you not let that carry over to Friday night? Third, how do you coach them? Everything's on the table with Terry Crisp. That's next. Join ESPN 102.5 The Game tomorrow at Coleman Tractor in White House at 3613 Highway 31 West as Darren Donick and Chase will broadcast live from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. Stop by and enter for your chance to win a pair of tickets to an upcoming National Predators game. And then on Saturday, join ESPN 102.5 The Game from 11 to 1 for the Nashville SC pre-match party outside the Hard Rock Cafe downtown. Party before the match on Broadway with appetizers and drink specials, plus register to win a pair of tickets to an upcoming Nashville SC home game. Then head over to Nissan Stadium for the 1 o'clock kickoff. Get your tickets now. NashvilleSC.com. Crispy next. Tough loss for the Predators last night. I think, as Hal Gill said it yesterday, devastating. A devastating loss. It was right there in their hands. Then I had to go tweet out that the game was over. And then they ended up losing and everybody got mad at me. But there's only one person that's probably been in every situation, including this one last night, and has coached it, and has played it, and has done it all. And it's one, Terrence Arthur Crisp. Crispy joins us now, Bally Sports. Crispy, we needed you on the postgame show last night because I don't know how a lot of fans were dealing with that loss. Let's put yourself in the coach's shoes here. John Hines last night, team melts down, loses a critical point. How do you regroup and go forward?
You know what? I'm sort of a little off. I was angry and upset, and I sat at home and was sitting with my little glass or whatever and making all my notes and by myself and writing my notes. And when it was all said and done, I was really ticked off. But you know what? I was not mad at the whole team because our team played hard and well. We got a lead. We did good. I was mad at four or five players who just went to sleep on four of the goals. And you all watched the game, and you all know what it was like. And I don't mind if a team beats us. They didn't stonewall us. They didn't run over top us. They didn't storm the gates. We gave them four goals by unforced plays, unforced errors, giveaways. So when I sat down and settled down, I said, you know what? The team played hard for most of that game, I should say. But if you go over the video, the goals that they got, we gave it to them. They didn't steamroll us. They didn't make amazing extra plays. We just handed it to them. So that's where I'm upset about. But we got a point, and we move on. We win the tomorrow night, and we get 5 out of 6 points and move through.
Crispy, going back to the players, if you were coaching, and this is not to say anything about Roman Josi or to tear him down or anything like that, but would you take him aside after a game like last night, after a couple of the mistakes he made that led to a couple of Chicago goals? Because he is held to such a standard that he often shows us last night. And I know you don't want to name names, and I'm not saying you're naming Josi as one of those players. I guess I'm saying I am, in last night's game. This is crunch time, man. This is where those guys have got to step up and make their plays. Last night, I didn't feel like Josi did, and we know what he's capable of.
You know what? Excuse me. Yeah, Josi has put this team on his back so often, so many times that he gets to get out of jail free card. But the guys that make the mistakes, they know more than anybody. You don't have to go in and say anything to them. They know. They feel worse in the team, though. Everybody knows, so it's out there. The thing that I think that sort of we can't make them at these crucial times. These are times when you have to be aware. These are games that we cannot afford. When you get a 4-1 lead and you're playing that well, you make sure every pass. Like we made soft baby passes. We for some reason we quit snapping the puck. And the minute we started making little shovel passes and little flip passes and little touch passes, we got in trouble. When we were snapping that puck and head manning the puck and coming back and coming out as a 5-man unit, attacking as a unit, forechecking as a unit, we were playing our game. And every time when we start, you can always tell when we start backing off the neutral zone, that they're going to come at you hard. And that's the one thing I would like to see us, that you got the lead. Don't play, there's that old saying, you play to win. You don't play just not to lose. And that's what one theory I've always adhered to.
Crispy, I'm sorry to cut you off right there, but if this were another team, a team that I didn't know much about, I didn't cover, if this were another team, say the Minnesota Wild, and they had a similar situation in the standings, I'd look at last night's game, and I'd say, that's a season wrecker. That is a, you're in the playoff chase, you screw that one up, like, you are done. And I think there's also a mental tax that comes with a game like last night. How do you feel about this group? This group, I'm not willing to count out. How do you feel about this group overcoming and moving forward after what happened last night?
I feel good about them. Like I told you, I like the game itself. Our guys worked hard. I mean, the herd line, or the whatever you want to call it now, is they were just pounding out there. They were leading the way. They were leading the charge on it and whatnot, and making things happen when they were on the ice. And when they got on the ice, they were making it all happen. So, yeah, this game, I'm not throwing the baby out with the bathwater. No, we got a point out of it. We worked hard. We could have got none, but it could have been 1 point worse. But we showed we're capable of it. So tomorrow night, we just bring it back to the, go back right to the drawing board, play the way we played the first part of that game, get out of there with 2 points and move on. So, yeah, to me, it's not a deal breaker by any means. We're still in the hunt. The other teams that are still in the hunt with us, they're going to have some bad games too. Can guarantee you they will. But we just, this one, we can't mope about it. Just let's face the fact that we got to get sharper at certain times of the game. That's it.
Crispy, offensively, it felt like this team, and I don't want to compare them to the 17 team because that's not fair, but maybe the 18 team the year afterwards, where every night it felt like it was somebody new. And it never felt like it was just one guy. Last night, I thought the Sissons goal, I thought that was just an incredible play. And it's Sissons and Arvidsson and Yarncroke and Tolvanen and Granlund. And it's, if I were to feel confident about this team right now, or anything that would make me feel good, it is that for the first 35 minutes or 45 minutes of last night's game, they really played good, all four lines. And I wonder, what is this group capable offensively of after what we have seen them do over the last couple of weeks all throughout the forward units?
They are. I like that. I like the way you described it. I like the way you said it. We weren't counting on just one line anymore. You know, we didn't have that when it was coming to the forefront. Everybody dug in. Everybody did it. And what? I don't know what that was. How many goals they scored those three goals in? What, was it 5 minutes or whatever?
Mm-hmm.
3 minutes? Whatever it was. And that put them, but don't forget, after that, our guys dug in and killed a four-minute penalty.
Yep.
We could have lost the game right then and been out of it. So having said that, you got to give our penalty killers full marks. They dug in deep for us and said, okay, let's stay in this game. They're not getting any free ones for us. They could have got two of the way when you have a four-minute penalty. They didn't. They dug in, dug back. Saros made some saves he had to make out there. Probably the one I feel most sorry for or more is our Saros. I mean, they had the goals they scored were just two-on-ones, giveaways, and then tic-tac. And he can only stretch himself so far to reach that puck. So having said that, you know what? When I, like I said, settle down, I said, hey, got a point, better than nothing. We know we're a good team. We know, so we just come right back at it again tomorrow night. That's it.
Crispy, it's I look at the team right now in the game tomorrow night and how big that game is tomorrow night, and I look at some of the way, you know, guys that have come into the lineup, guys that have gone out of the lineup, and I keep wondering, you know, for this group, who's the guy who's going to truly step up? And the thing that maybe bothered me the most about last night's game is even once Chicago ties it 4-4, because you've been in this, you're going to get punched in the mouth and you're going to have to regroup. Who's the guy who's going to put their hand up and say, hey, I got us. You know, I got us. I'm going to make the play in overtime. I'm going to be the one who ends up winning this game for us. Or Friday night is, hey, I'm going to be the guy who steps up so that this is just a one-night aberration. It's not something that's going to affect our season going forward. And I was kind of looking for that guy last night, and I didn't see it. As a coach and as a former player, is that a real thing given the circumstances?
It's a real thing in a way that when you say it like that, yeah. Like if you had to say one person who was capable of it, it would be our captain, Josi. He's done it all year. I mean, he's performed miracles for us. We all know that. But looking at this team now, Stiller, I don't think it should be one guy sitting on the bench. I think it should be five, six, or seven guys on that bench saying to each other, I got this, guys. Get me the puck. I got it. I'm going to be there. That's what I'm looking for. And that's what we hinge our games on now. We don't have, other than Jost and a couple, and young Tolvanen, I mean, just came into it. I look towards the kid. I'd say, you know what? He's quite capable of doing that now in my mind. So, but I would sooner lean on the fact that they all are going to say it. Let's get it. Every line going over the board, there's 6 minutes ago, says, we got this, guys. We got the goal. We got the big one. Let's go get it.
Crispy, I tweeted out last night after it was 4-1 that the game was over. And I started moving my attention towards Friday. The Predators fans are mad at me. They think I jinxed the team. They've demanded an apology. I am refusing to apologize. Your thoughts?
Come on. We live in a realistic world out there. If that was the case, you think we wouldn't have a lot of people trying to put a hex on us and saying that? And I understand when you're avid fans. And you've probably been an avid fan of football games and mad and whatnot. And superstitious is superstitious, and we leave it. And you'll, like Mace and I have talked about it, when we have a shutout going into the last 8 minutes, oh, don't even breathe it. Don't even say it. Don't even think about it. That's life. That's superstition. And Stiller, if I was you, I'd still enjoy my beer.
Terry Crispy is the best. Crispy, we will see you back on the broadcast tomorrow night, and soon, I believe Monday, we will see you at the rink.
You got it, buddy. Take care. And let's go, Preds. We're still in the hunt. Hey, we earned the right to be in the fight.
There you go. Terry Crisp, as always, joining us on the program. And I got to say, when they lose a game like last night's, it bums me out that Crispy's not calling the game because, I mean, I'm sitting there. I need to hear what Crispy has to say after the game. He's not on. What am I going to do? 615-737-1025 is our phone number. The draft preview show coming up at the top of the hour. TD will be with us. Chris Sanders will be with us. We'll have all the breakdown. Let's give something away now, too. Pro Golf is coming to Nashville this May with the Simmons Bank Open. Text the keyword golf now to 615-737-1025 for a chance to win a weekend pass for four to enjoy the event in style, including food and drink, plus a Predators gift pack, including polo shirt, golf balls, and umbrella. Text golf now to 615-737-1025 to enter to win. Caroline's is next. It's Stillman and Company right here on ESPN 1025 The Game. Our draft show, our draft preview show is coming up next right here on ESPN 1025 The Game, 5 to 7, 2 hours. We will podcast it. It'll be live on Periscope so you can watch. It'll be live on YouTube, Twitter, Twitch, so you can literally go home. Say you're on your drive home now. You're going to get home. You want to see just constant, in-depth Titans analysis for the draft. We've got the two experts, Chris Sanders and Teron Davenport, will be here live for 2 hours breaking down the draft. We are one freaking week away. Oh, my goodness. I cannot be more excited. I will say this. There was nothing that I enjoyed more than the 20. And when I think of spring 2020, nothing more than that draft. That weekend, that just breath of fresh air.
That draft got me through.
Oh, man, it was so nice. It was, and then it was over, and I was like, okay, what are we going to talk about now on the radio? But we figured it out one way or another. But it is time now for Caroline's.
Get in on the action. Put the money on the mahogany. What's on tap on the sports books? It's time to break it all down with Caroline's. Here on Stillman and Company.
On ESPN.
1025 The Game and the Game Nashville app.
So I know I continuously pick against the Sabres, and sometimes they surprise me, but I'm going to do it again. I'm picking against the Sabres. Sabres, Bruins tonight. I'm taking the Bruins money line, especially with Tuukka Rask back in the net. I know that we call Taylor Hall the Jadeveon Clowney of the NHL.
He sucks.
But he has 4 points in the last five games and has been super dominant on the Bruins' second line. So I'm taking the Bruins' money line.
So I think that you don't understand that most of Boston hates Tuukka Rask. So that if Swayman, their young goalie prospect, if he were to play, I think I'd feel better about taking the Bruins. I am going to take the Sabres today.
Okay.
I'm going to take the Sabres because I just don't trust Tuukka Rask, and I want to make it a little different. And if the Sabres win, I should get like 10-1 odds against you on this one. If the Sabres win tonight, you will never hear the end of it, at least for a day.
That's fair. Well, but then I'll just continue to bring up your tweet from last night, and this will just be a continuous thing.
I mean, hey, I said it was over, and it obviously was not over. You know?
Well, one thing that is very interesting is that since March 29th, except for two games where they won back-to-back, the Sabres have gone back and forth with wins. They've won a game, they've lost a game, they've won a game, they've lost a game. Since March 29th, so about a month we're looking at. So history would serve in the Sabres' favor tonight since they lost to the Bruins on Tuesday. But I'm
you
standing
change your
strong.
Pick? Change your pick. Change
I'm
it.
Standing
change
strong.
It. She's opened the door, Ian.
I'm taking the Bruins.
She's opened the door. I will, I'm going to go with the Sabres. Go
but
Sabres.
It was an interesting little tidbit there.
Is that game on ESPN Plus tonight? I'm gonna have to watch that game. It's probably not.
Probably not.
No.
I'm not gonna count my blessings there. But Yankees and Indians play tonight. The Yankees have been what PicksWise.com calls an anemic offense. I've never heard that word in reference to an offense, but it kind of feels like it's happening to the Yankees right now. It almost feels like the Knicks took whatever mojo the Yankees had, because the Knicks are on a heater right now. So the Yankees just haven't been great recently. Indians also not great. So I'm not going to take, I think it's -1.5. I'm not going to take the Indians -1.5. I'm just going to take the money line. Just the Yankees haven't looked great this season. Aaron Svall's on the mound for the Indians. He's 3-0 so far this season. He's getting his fourth start of the season. So I'm taking the Indians.
Let me say this. I don't watch a ton of American League baseball. You know, I think what's happened with sports, I don't think I'm unique to this. Like, I watch the teams I care about. Like, tonight, Rangers Flyers is on ESPN Plus. I'm not watching that game. But I will obviously watch tomorrow night. I'll have two games on at one time on the screen. I'll have the Braves and I'll have the Preds because those are the teams I watch. Outside of the NFL, the NFL is the one sport where, like, everybody, if it's on, like, we're all going to watch. I watched two Yankee games because they played the Braves the last two nights. They stink right
They're
now.
They're not good.
They're awful. I mean, they are.
I mean, how do you have Giancarlo Stanton and Aaron Judge on the same team and you are in last place in the American League East?
They're awful.
They're
I mean, the Braves just gift wrapped the game on Tuesday night, just gift-wrapped it to the Yankees. And then last night, I don't even think the Braves played particularly well. They're without Ronald Acuna Jr., and the Yankees, man, like scoring for the Yankees is like pulling teeth right now. I will take Cleveland as well. I have no idea how Cleveland's playing, but I will take Cleveland as well in tonight's game just because, boy, the Yankees, man, they, like, and I'm somebody who believes, like, part of baseball's decline. Now, I know the baseball viewership is way up this year, but I think part of baseball's decline is that the Yankees haven't been in the World Series lately. Like, if we got a Yankees-Cubs World Series, like, when the Cubs were going for it, if they, instead of playing the Indians, if they had played the Yankees, it would have been football-level ratings.
I mean, can you imagine, like, a Yankees, I mean, not going to say Red Sox, but, like, two blue bloods in baseball. Like, that gets people to care
sure,
about
Sure, like,
it.
The idea of the
Same
Yankees
thing with
and the
Final Four in March Madness this
year. We don't need the Rays. We don't need, but, the Yankees this year, man, they are terrible. Those are Carolines. So today's kind of a weird show because, again, we're a three-hour show yesterday, three-hour show today, but this is because the draft show starts in about 5 minutes as we are wall-to-wall NFL draft 5-7. So it is time, though, for the worst, and I feel like I know this ahead of time. Mm-hmm. I already know where we're going.
Probably.
It's the worst take of the day.
The worst take on today's show as presented by Caroline Fenton.
So I mentioned in one of my headlines earlier that there were two people that were very, very against the new jersey number rule in the NFL, allowing certain positions to wear numbers that they previously were not allowed to do. One person that is very, very against it is Jared Stillman, and the other one is Tom Brady. And this was Jared's response.
I like to think that great minds think alike.
Oh, boy.
And
oh,
I boy. Would say Brady, I mean, again, in this, I just think it's dumb. And again, like I said, great minds think alike. I hated it yesterday. Brady hates it today.
Ew. Gross. Great minds think alike.
Do you believe that or not?
Don't put you and Tom Brady in the same room.
Okay. All right. Let me ask this question. Do you believe that great minds think alike?
I say it as a saying, but you ruined it for me just now.
Either you believe it or you don't. It's like either you believe in Bigfoot or you don't. Do you believe that great minds think alike?
I would say so.
Okay. And there's only two people you've heard that absolutely detest this NFL numbers rule.
I just think you are, it's filling up real estate in your mind, but it really doesn't need to.
Oh my God, I hate it. I don't want to see number 3 at wide receiver. I just don't want to see it.
I love it.
I don't want to see it. I haven't seen it in the past. I don't want to see it now. I like things the way they are. Great minds do think alike. I would just like to state that for the record.
So Jared thinks that him and Tom Brady are two of the greatest minds.
So I'm just going to say this with no context. There is somebody who has worked with Tom Brady, who has worked with me, who at one point compared me to Tom Brady.
Oh boy.
No context associated with whatsoever. I'm not doing that. People can just think what they want to think, but that did in fact happen at a point in time.
It hurts. That hurts me.
I just want you all to know that.
It really physically pains me.
I just want you to know that. TD and Chris are ready because coming up next, it is the draft preview show. 2 hours. We go position by position of need. What do the Titans need? What has history told us? What do we think of the draft this year? Who knows better than TD and Chris Sanders? They will join us next. Our draft preview show presented by Founders Brewery, Apple Collision Centers, Freedom Tire Guys, and MTGRT, your live and local mortgage experts, starts next right here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.